You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
Another black man shot and killed by police in the key state of Pennsylvania. Walter Wallace Jr., the name we now must all know. Just 27, killed yesterday in front of his mom in Philadelphia. She was chasing after him, begging cops not to shoot a man who was clearly in mental distress. You can see that the police don't know what to do. You see the mother's desperation and you'll feel yourself saying, don't. Would you come
my way? This is the Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
There certainly is a need for care. We are certainly a country in crisis. Those things we know. What we don't know is what happens next. The woman you saw in the video chasing the man in black was his mother. And she was pleading with him to calm down, to try to control himself. Why? Because Walter Wallace Jr. was in distress. The family says it alerted police that Wallace Jr. had mental health issues.
Shut up.
That police needed to use de-escalation tactics.
Shut up.
They didn't even have tasers.
Up. They just add to it. See, that's Chris Cuomo on CNN throwing more fuel on the fire while 30 officers got hurt last night. These riots getting old real quick. The police department leadership in these Democratic cities need to learn to squash this before it starts. Police shot and killed another black man in front of his family. That's the media thing out there. Another example of systemic racism in America by our nation's police departments. That's the media headlines that are out there. Give me a break. You want to know why the Philly police didn't tase him? You really want to know why? The commissioner, Commissioner Outlaw, that's her name, told NBC News last night, budget restraints. Oh, look at it. Look, budget restraints. Back in June, idiots on the Philadelphia City Council decided to axe $19 million from the budget and then divert another $14 million. Sounds like Fresno's not the only city with idiots on their city council. Let's look at the what she had to say. This is Commissioner, where did I here she is. Here she is. Danielle Outlaw, the Philadelphia Police Commissioner.
What we saw yesterday throughout our city, but particularly in the area of Castor and Aramingo, had absolutely nothing to do with protest. The widespread lawlessness, including the burglary and looting of area businesses, served no purposes whatsoever. These individuals are doing nothing but simply wasting our precious resources.
Police got a call, domestic call, man running around with a knife, his mother, I thought it was his wife, but his mother was chasing after him. No, don't. Police telling him to drop the weapon. He turns, comes toward police, and they shot and they killed the man. But they then it led to all the riots again because of people like Chris Cuomo. As you've seen, I mean, you got to squash this before it starts. I don't understand. And I know there's a lot in the year 2020 that we don't understand, but why do we spend more than any country in the world to protect ourselves? You know, we do that, right? Our military spending to protect ourselves. We spend light years beyond Russia and China, who are number two and three, but we can't protect ourselves from ourselves. If these were Iranian nationals landing boats in Philadelphia, right there in Jersey along the coast, coming in inland to waterways and attacking Philadelphia like this and coming inshore, I think we'd handle it, wouldn't we? These politicians swore in to defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic. So that means that there are enemies that are against our country that are here domestically, which mean that, yeah, we cannot protect ourselves from ourselves. We're afraid to protect ourselves from our enemies that are here domestic. You had these protests. You can protest. You can hold a peaceful protest in America. But that's not what these are anymore. The protesters were finally in New York, in Portland, in Philadelphia, in New York, police vehicles damaged as well. Last night in Brooklyn, damaged the property downtown. Philadelphia torn apart, the rioting, the looting. They said in Brooklyn, the protests were met by police in riot gear around 10 p.m. Too late. 10 p.m., too late. Use military tactics. They said several officers were injured when a car tried to drive through a group of cops. It showed them trying to stop the sedan. One officer tried to break the vehicle's window with a baton. After being ordered to stop, the car drove through, and this is the problem, a line of bicycle cops. A car is a weapon. You shoot. We don't need bicycle cops. We need tanks. We need helicopters. We need troops. We need smoke grenades, maybe even real grenades. We need temporary jails down on the waterfront where you house them when you you zip tie. And if you got to zip tie the legs, you zip tie the legs too. You put them in the back of an 18-wheeler and you take them down to the waterfront. And then you put them through the judicial system. These are people that are being violent. These are people that are destroying. Now, we're not going to zip tie and take down to the waterfront and jail people that are peacefully protesting. That's America. And you can do that. But this is so far past that. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Let's talk about the man, Walter Wallace Jr. This was the man that was shot by Philadelphia police. His wife said he's bipolar, obviously had some mental issues as well. You know, they're just trying to paint this as just a mentally disabled person that was just shot by police because he was black. That's the message that's out there. Let's see. The picture that the media used of this 27-year-old man, they had to go back like 10 years. He's in his prom picture with his bow tie. That's the picture that they're remembering. And that would be okay if you wanted to put that up at a memorial service or something of that effect. But this guy has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 mugshots that I'm looking at right here. You can see his age progression over the years. And the media, they've done what everything they can, I guess, to not portray it this way. He was first arrested in 2006 for assaulting a teacher when he was 13 years old. This guy's criminal record. He had a criminal record going back quite a ways. And, you know, they're going to make you, they're going to portray this the way they want to portray this, that he was a mentally disabled person, shot because he was black. 30 police officers were injured in the riots last night that happened due to this. Let's go look at the court records. It showed that while he was out there running around with the knife at police, he was currently awaiting trial for allegedly threatening to shoot a woman and to shoot her house up. In 2017, he pled guilty to robbery, assault, possessing an instrument of crime after kicking down the door of another woman and putting a gun to her head. He was sentenced to 11 to 23 months behind bars. 2013, he pled guilty to assault, resisting arrest, and punching a police officer in the face. He was arrested back in March after he allegedly threatened his child's mother over the phone, saying, "I'll shoot you and that house up." In 2013, his mom had a protective order against him, in which he allegedly violated when he threw water in her face and punched her in her face, according to court records. In 2016, during a robbery, he allegedly grabbed a woman by the neck, held what he believed to be a gun to her head, according to court records. 2019, charged with resisting arrest by kicking the windows and door panels of a police patrol car. Nah, don't let any of this get in the way of the Black Lives Matter movement. Don't let any of this get in the way of the media. This guy's a saint, right? You got to keep the Democrat crime wave going. And the people who vote for it, low information voters, medium information voters, high information voters. Doesn't matter. Low, medium, high, the information they have, because you can't fix stupid.
Another black man shot and killed by police in the key state of Pennsylvania. Walter Wallace.
Hear that? Wait. He politicized that. In the key state of Pennsylvania. What's that? That's bad for President Trump that a man had a knife and ran at officers? Yeah, that's according to Chris Cuomo. They won't stop, will they?
Junior, the name we now must all know. Just 27, killed yesterday in front of his mom in Philadelphia. She was chasing after him, begging cops not to shoot a man who was clearly in mental distress. You can see that the police don't know what to do. You see the mother's desperation, and you'll feel yourself saying, don't.
I wasn't like, yeah, shoot. Yeah, don't. You don't want somebody to lose their life. But if they're going to attack the officers, that's their training. Now, why did they, again, not have tasers? Budget cutbacks. You're starting to see the full picture develop. Walter Wallace Jr. has been a career criminal. It was good to see his father step out. He said, I don't want to see the destruction of my city that I, he worked sanitation. He said, I picked up trash for 30 years. Do not destroy this city. But, you know, he even had looters robbing looters. There was a video of a 50-ish looking year old man-ish with a car full of goodies pulling out the parking lot. Stopped by some younger guys. Looters robbing looters. Had a car just drive into a line of NYPD cops. Here's some audio. It's just mass confusion, man.
These looters clearly outnumbered the police, so the police could only stand back at some point until they brought in reinforcements. TVs were very popular, washing machines, sneakers were also exceptionally popular among the looters. Police just don't have the numbers to protect every store around the city. There were carjackings last night, at least 11 shootings, including one that left a 15-year-old girl in critical condition.
Bring in the military. Larry Elder, he's a black conservative author. He sent a letter to Ice Cube. Interesting. I'm going to read it next. It's filled with facts. So there's going to be some possible Democrat cultural Marxists listening who will be offended by the facts. Nonetheless, facts are next.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson just glanced up. There he was on Fox. Up there, we'll be talking to him about the election. Also, coronavirus, because, man, I tell you what, they're just not going to stop, are they? Here was Dr. Hanson. This was back in March, right here on this show.
The key number, I think, to watch is the CDC's daily death rate from the virus, because that's a known quantity because of autopsies and death certificates. The number of cases is not a known quantity because testing is so nascent. So what I'm getting at, Trevor, is if we look at the increases daily in the number of cases, rather than being panicked, we should correlate that with the number of deaths increasing. Because my suspicion is that the virus is a little less lethal than we thought, at least in the United States.
All right. Well, it seemed to be. It's how it turned out. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Larry Elder, conservative, and for the time period we live in, I have to tell you, he is a black conservative. We know Ice Cube working with the Trump administration now over his plan that he put in that Joe Biden said, come back after the election. Larry Elder writes, rapper actor Ice Cube on the brink of understanding the left-wing con. He appears on the verge of understanding the fake product that the Democrats and the media have been peddling, that America remains guilty of systemic racism. In a video Cube posted on social media, he wondered what blacks are getting in return for their virtually unquestioned loyalty to the Democratic Party. Larry said, I sent him a series of tweets to help him. Dear Ice Cube, urge blacks to follow your lead and that of your parents. You were raised by two parents and were voluntarily bused to a better school rather than attending the nearby inferior public school. Like your parents, you raised your kids in a nuclear intact family. Democrat policies hurt blacks. Welfare causes fatherlessness. Unskilled illegals compete with unskilled blacks for jobs. Democrats oppose school choice. For votes, Democrats play the race card to keep blacks angry. It's a scam, capital letters. He goes on to say, the number one problem in the black community is that 70% of black kids are born without the father married to their mom. Barack Obama said kids growing up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. Blame government welfare. Well, he said, your mother cannot calm you down the way a man can. Can't reassure you the way a man can. You need a man to teach you how to be a man. Who do you think said that little line right there? Your mom can't calm you down. I can't reassure you the way a man can. You need a man to teach you how to be a man. That was Tupac, and that was Larry giving him a quote to Ice Cube. Then he gave him a quote from Denzel Washington. Denzel said, don't blame the system for black incarceration. It starts at the home. It starts at home. It starts with how you raise your children. If a young man doesn't have a father figure, he'll go find a father figure. So he gave him some quotes from some high-profile black men in America. Then he gave him the stats and the facts. This is Larry Elder to Ice Cube. Of the 1,000 people killed by cops each year, less than 4% are white cop unarmed black shootings. Half of all homicide victims are black. Almost all are killed by blacks. It isn't poverty or systemic racism. During the Great Depression, black unemployment was 50% with a lower murder rate. Here's what the Reverend Jesse Jackson said in 1993. He wouldn't say it in 2020. But a quote from the Reverend Jesse Jackson that Larry sent to Ice Cube. Quote, there's nothing more painful to me at this stage in my life than to walk down the street and hear footsteps and start thinking about a robbery. Then I look around and see someone white and I feel relieved. That was Jesse Jackson in 1993. Of the approximately 1,000 people killed by police each year, most resisted with a weapon or resisted violently. Half are white. Less than 4% of the 1,000 involved a white cop and an unarmed black. More unarmed whites are killed by cops each year than unarmed blacks. This is analysis by a black Harvard economic professor. White police officers were less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot unarmed black suspects. Again, I repeat, white police officers less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot unarmed black suspects. That was analysis done by a black Harvard economic professor, found zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. They also had a note that police officers face an 18.5 times greater chance of being killed by a black male than an unarmed black male has of being killed by a police officer. Larry Elder sent Ice Cube some more facts. In 2018, there were over 600,000 interracial violent victimizations, excluding homicide, between blacks and whites. 90% committed by blacks against whites, 10% by whites against blacks. These aren't opinions. These are facts. If you want to get mad at the facts. 1997, a Time CNN poll asked black teens if racism was a big, small, or no problem in their lives. 89% said small or no problem. I knew it was different then. I knew it was different. I lived then. This is that was great letter to Ice Cube. I hope that he continues on his path to finding that he's been lied to for so long. Well, how do you think all this is going to end? What's the end game here? Normally, we would think with elections that whether or not your candidate won or not, that, well, it's something like even when Bill Clinton won, even when Obama won in 08, it didn't have that real heavy feeling that I feel right now with thinking of what could possibly be on the horizon. I discount Joe Biden. With Kamala Harris and the Democrats and the socialists and everything that they have planned right now, you saw how quickly they did this. You see what they're actually willing to do. They're willing to give up American lives to create chaos. And that's sad. And that's the truth. You have a guy with a knife coming at cops, and you got the CBS Evening News starting it out. Police shot and killed a black man in front of his family. You see how they're swaying all of this. They said Wallace's pregnant wife told authorities that he was her husband was bipolar. They basically blaming the officers. Why didn't they use a taser? Well, because the budget cuts happened in Philadelphia. That's why they couldn't use the tasers.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Together and stop.
I guess Ice Cube associates himself with Donald Trump calling Hispanics breeders. I guess Ice Cube associates himself with Jared Kushner saying that Donald Trump can't help black people if black people don't want to help themselves. I guess that's what Ice Cube associates himself with. Nice career move.
Yeah.
Nice career
advice. Shut up there, morning breath. I guess a lot of teachers across America are really listening to the 1979 Pink Floyd song, The Wall. Teachers, leave them kids alone. Even science teachers are ignoring the science. Get back to school. If teachers want to lock down well into their 70s or 80s, let loose. Let them. Fire them. Hire new ones. We'll talk about school next.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hey, don't forget, we fall back Saturday night. That means you lose an hour. Lose an hour? Yeah, lose. Yeah, fall back. Spring forward. Come on. You've only done that for 50... to be the 54th season now in your life. I think I get it down. New studies show that politics, not science, is driving local policies on school closures and the reopenings. Joe Pollack wrote an article on Breitbart about this. According to the nonpartisan education news website, The 74, the two factors that correlate with school reopenings are the share of the local vote that went to President Trump and the degree to which teachers belong to unions. So there's so much politics involved in this. And from our, you know, these teachers, okay, you don't want to come back to school. We'll get to some of the stats of how many teachers don't want to in a minute. But do a Ronald Reagan air traffic controller. Seriously, this is the livelihood of our society. You teachers that aren't looking at science and aren't looking at the facts that are out in front of you, shame on you for doing that. Seriously, you've expected the Walmart workers to work, right? You've expected when the power comes on, when you go home, right? Stop it with this. Please stop it with this. And if they don't want to come back, we need some So I don't know who makes this decision, but to stand up and say maybe it'd be the superintendent, maybe be the school board that says, okay, you don't want to come back, we'll give you 3 months, no salary. You can keep your benefits in case you get sick while you're in lockdown, but after that, we're done. We're going to hire somebody else. You decide during those 3 months. No salary, just like the people that can't go back to work because they have nobody to watch their kids because the kids should be in school. Why don't you feel that for a little while? Why don't you feel that furlough? Feel the furlough, FTA, Fresno Teachers Association. According to this, lower support for Trump tends to be correlated with longer school closures. Higher union concentration is also correlated with longer school closures. The 74 reports the latest evidence through Brown University's Institute for School Reform indicates that partisanship, as exhibited by the share of voters in a given county who supported Trump in 2016, as well as the strength of local teacher unions, drove reopening plans far more than public health conditions. Yeah, what we've been seeing, I'm glad to see that Brown University's Institute for School Reform looked into it. Also, the senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, John Vallant, at the Education Policy, shared his findings. He said, tracking the reopening plans for over 250 districts, he detected no relationship between each locality's decision and its per capita COVID cases, which would mean you're following the facts that are on the ground. He highlighted a connection between reopening decisions and organized labor. That's what we have. These unions are messing this up. President Trump urged the schools to reopen, as we've seen. Monica Velez at Fresno B writes, Fresno area teachers say school district is rushing to reopen. Do I have a choice? No. Elementary students in Fresno County's fourth largest school district, she writes, are going back to campus next week, but some teachers and parents say they've been shut out of the conversation leading up to it. Teachers in the Sanger district were required to return to campuses on Monday. Some, who are these some? Monica, who are the some, said they didn't feel safe returning amid the coronavirus pandemic. And why is that? It has a 99.5% survival rate under 70. Under 50 years of age, a 99.9. We have 0.007% of Californians in the hospital. And I know there are teachers out there that have been beaten into submission by the propaganda who are actually, yeah, too weak to see the truth. I know they're out there. They're cramming this propaganda into your minds. And you know what, teachers? You're intelligent. If you're that intelligent, look at the facts. Isn't that what you would tell your students to do? If they came up and said, I heard about the bubonic plague and I'm really scared that I'm going to die from it, Mrs. Henderson. Well, you have a 0.007% chance of that ever happening. And that's included if you actually travel to the countries where it's really prevalent. So don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. The district, 700 educators, 12,600 students. This is Sanger. They're quoting here. Did not ask teachers if they wanted to return. So they're making a big deal. Teachers are making it. You didn't ask us. Sanger superintendent, Ms. Jones, said teachers are expected to show up unless they have a medical issue or live with someone who's more susceptible to COVID-19. Good. I'm glad that superintendent Adela Jones is standing up like this. During a Sanger Unified Teacher Association meeting last week, 200 teachers were surveyed. 81% said they did not feel safe returning to in-person teaching and would rather wait. They're saying they'd rather wait till January to return. Why? Ed, why? Get your butt back in class and teach the kids. In this B article, they said parents and teachers the B spoke with said they felt the district is rushing. Why don't you go talk to some parents and teachers, B? Why don't you speak with them to say this has to end now? Our kids need to go back to school. We are doing so much damage to them. On Sunday evening, this article says the district sent out a survey that asked only one question. Do you want to return to in-person instruction or continue distance learning? What? How many more? You want to ask them 10 questions? That's the question. If they, Sanger Unified, really wanted parents' input, they would have sent a detailed survey out earlier, said Stephanie Alvarado, the Sanger Unified Teachers Association president. Sure, she did. You should have sent out a much larger survey, much more detail. We need to know more whether or not you want your kids to come back or stay home. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Losing another year here. You know what the lasting implications of this would be? They're talking about transitional kindergartners, first graders returning to campus November 2nd, third graders returning on November 9th, fourth, fifth, sixth graders returning November 16th, all the grades return on January 11th. This is one little example in Sangerd. You see one little school district. You see how the association fighting back against this. Nancy Price at GV Wire writes, some Clovis Unified kids back in school within weeks, others not until January, the district is saying. Let's see here. The superintendent O'Farrell said, while we might have a school where 70% of the students want to come back on November 3rd, if we only have 10% of the teachers at that school able to come back at that date, that presents a quandary for us. You know, pull the Reagan FAA. Replace them. Replace the teachers that don't want to come back. It's actually simple. Do you remember when the teachers were threatening to strike here in Fresno? I remember the commercials right here on our radio station running. You want to make $500 a day? Come sign up. So, hey, we obviously had a plan in place. You implemented it to the point where you went and bought advertising. So I think you still have that plan in place. And believe me, there are people out there right now that would easily, gladly cross that picket line. Let them. It wouldn't even be a picket line. Furlough them. The Chicago Teacher Union Stonewall, and it's happened all across America. The union is holding out in Chicago. Listen to this. Oh, it'll probably be coming to Fresno in a minute, but they're holding out for their own certified industrial hygienist to inspect the school air quality. That's what they're down to right now. 559-247 call. Rodney and Clovis, let's talk. Hi there, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good. I was calling regarding the Sanger. My child goes to Sanger, and that Sunday survey that we got is the question of saying, if my kid goes to school only 2 to 2.5 hours a day, and my wife's the teacher there, and of course we're wanting the kids to go back full. So when they're asked that one survey question, it doesn't give us the right amount of questions to answer to say, let our kids go back 100%, not just 2 hours.
I didn't even factor that in, Rodney. That you're right. That question should have been there. It wasn't even in there. So that's a setup survey to even begin with, because they're not going to find out from the people that, like yourself, that say, let's go back. So your wife's a teacher. What grade does she teach, Rodney?
She teaches first grade.
Okay, so she'd be one in the phase-in program that would be there. I'm glad to hear and see. Let me stop right now and say I'm not talking about all teachers. I need to say that, Rodney, because like your wife, there are a lot out there that do want to come back. But these unions got a lot of power. I know you know that, being the spouse of a teacher.
They do. But they do have a lot of say, and I agree with that. But as most teachers that I've talked to, they want to go back, but they want to go back 100%. This 2 hours of teaching, and how do you take care of a first grader without interruptions or without them needing to move around?
Yeah, 2.5 hours, that's just a pain in your day to have to get the kids ready to go do that. It's not worth it. It needs to be all or nothing. Rodney, thanks for that check-in right there. My buddy Miles in Fresno, how you doing, Miles?
Hey, Trevor, long time, no see.
I thought you fled the state, buddy. I thought you said, I'm out of here, man. I'm good to hear you're still here, and I know you got youngins. Are they in the public school system?
Unfortunately, they are, Trevor, they are. But, with this whole pandemic, it's given me the opportunity to break down the system to my siblings. We also have a system. I'm telling, look, guys, if we had something where Trump would send you guys the money, how likely are you to transfer to different schools? So, although they are in public schools, the whole pandemic is really opening the eyes to at least the people in my circle that, like, hey, something's going on. Because, I talk to my wife about everything, and I tell her, like, look, no disrespect, just like you said, to all the teachers. Most teachers are awesome people, hands down. No disrespect to them. But, you give them the opportunity, like, hey, teachers, you're going to make the same amount of money staying home, or you're going to go to school, you're going to waste gas, traffic, time. what would you rather do? 90% of people, myself included, would be like, yeah, sign me up. If I'm going to make the same amount of money from home that I'm going to go to school, of course you sign me up from school. So I believe that there's some element to that. But at the end of the day, like you mentioned, man, you got to get to work. Like, you know, I'm exposing myself every day. So is a grocery store worker. So is a paramedic. Like, teachers are important, but why is it that they can be like, oh, no, we're too important to go to work, yet everyone else isn't?
Were you venturing into school choice there for a minute, Miles? Did I hear you going in that direction? How many kids do you have? Two, three?
I have three daughters, Trevor.
Okay, so we spend about anywhere 10 to 12. Let's take the high end so it sounds – or let's take the low end. $10,000 a year per child to educate them in the public school system. Miles, what if that $30,000 went to you and you had the choice to go around and interview some private schools and see which ones you could work out and get your kids in, or a charter school, or it would give you control as a parent? And school choice is something Democrats do not want. They want to keep this power. They want to keep these unions because they contribute so much to the Democratic Party. So school choice, man, that needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, Trevor. And that's that's something that maybe we could talk about another day, but I feel like there needs to be a more effort to try to educate the Hispanic community, because, you know, Trevor, for the last like 4 or 5 years, I've tried my best to educate it. And one of the things that I've tried my best educated, you know, my siblings and my mom is about choose school choice. I go, Mom, you don't understand how the game is rigged up. And I believe you're the one who said it about the whole food stamp analogy. Like, you know, we don't give the Food Max the food stamps. We don't give it to Save Mark. We give it to the people. So I try to explain to my mom, like, Mom, you mean to tell me, like, if we were going to school, if instead of, you know, the public school giving the money, if the government said, okay, here's $10,000, but it costs $12,000 to send us to a private Catholic school, you mean to tell me, Mom, that you couldn't afford, like, let's say, like, you know, a couple $100 extra to send me and my brother to a private school? She's like, well, you know, that's a good thing. I didn't think about it. That's what I'm talking about, Mom.
Way to educate, Miles. Way to educate. You know? That's what it takes, is those that are around us in our circle, let them know the truth. And no, that was not me that talked about food stamps at Food Max, but that's a good story because that kind of paints the picture, doesn't it?
It does, Trevor, but, you know, and last thing, closing remark, I know I'm kind of all over the place, but it isn't so much the schools, and I'll end this with this, and I'll take your response off the air. I'm surprised Donald Trump has not said something along the lines like, vote for us, vote for Republicans, and the first thing we're going to do is send you that check. Money talks, and if you tell people, look, you know, we're going to send you that $1,200 check, just get me back in office and give me the House and keep the Senate, first thing we're going to do is send you a $1,200 check. I'm not surprised. I'm very surprised Trump hasn't played that kind of angle. And I'll listen to your response off air, Trevor. Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you. God bless America. And good luck to everyone.
That's what it's about, Miles, right there, ladies and gentlemen. It is school choice. And I'm glad he's educating people about that. In your circle, do it as well. Say, hey, wouldn't you like to have, how many kids you got? I've got four kids. Wouldn't you like to have $40,000 or maybe $45,000 for you to pick where you send them? Teachers, get back to work. Science teachers, educate the other teachers, please.
Just released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention are as follows. For 0 to 19 years old, it's 0.00003%. For ages 20 to 49, it's 0.0002%. For ages 50 to 69, it's 0.005%. And for ages 70 and up, it's 0.054%. And now compare it again to that of the flu with an infection fatality rate of 0.1%. With these COVID-19 numbers being side by side with the flu, which is higher? I don't know. The science isn't back on it yet.
Closing schools hinders herd immunity. Maybe that's why they're doing it. We'll talk next in your calls. 559-247 CALL.
Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app.
The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Boy, that Joe Biden scandal just keeps getting deeper and deeper. They had the whistleblower on last night on Tucker Carlson on Fox, coming up after 5. If you miss it, I'll play some of the excerpts from that interview. And, of course, the swamp media is going to ignore that as well. Education researchers at Brown University are saying that politics, not science, determines local school closures. If they don't want to come back, find teachers that will. And we need to do this 100%. And for you teachers that are ready, God bless you. Michael in Fresno. Hi there, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Yep. So I'm actually a certified industrial hygienist. When you mentioned that, my ears perked up.
Oh, about the air quality?
Air quality. Yeah, I'm working on the fires. I helped a couple counties prepare for COVID and all kinds of different things.
So is that a thing with schools to go in and test the air quality? That's the first I'd heard of it when Chicago was talking about it. Is that happening here?
I haven't been contacted yet, but I'm sure it will happen. There's a lot of psychological, you know, because the media has really driven just the fear in the people about this organism. And so it kind of serves as a, kind of helps alleviate some of the psychological aspects of it. But there's also some other things that come up whenever you're going to reopen a building that's been closed for some time, like Legionella, for example. And so it's not
like... What's Legionella? Is that like Legionnaires?
Yes, exactly.
Legionnaires disease. You mean it can, if a building's been closed down, that could be harbored inside there?
Yes, especially when you have like a chiller system. And it's not maintained or hasn't been operated in some time, sometimes you can have some issues with Legionella. So that's one of the other organisms that's evaluated during a pre-opening.
Well, and those are things, I guess, that we should do. Do they do that after summer? How long does it take for a building being closed down for that kind of stuff to get together?
It doesn't take long. It takes maybe a month.
Okay. All right. So there is I guess there is an aspect to that. Then that is, I'm glad you chimed in on that, Michael. I'll give you last say. I got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I think that the polls are seriously skewed the wrong way, and I think Trump's going to win by landslide.
Well, I'm hoping for that landslide as well, Michael. Thank you, sir, for calling in with that expert opinion right there. This Biden scandal, man, it's getting nasty. Without a shadow of a doubt, Joe Biden will be compromised. He's compromised already. Maybe that's a Democrat plan. Get a guy in there that's compromised so that he can go. So that
Kamala Harris.
I don't care. Oh, it was something last night. This whistleblower, man, it is the truth. Paging Mr. Lena, Mr. Bob Bobulinski. That's right, Mr. Bobulinski. He was on Tucker last night. I'm going to play it all back for you. Not all, but the main serious parts, and you'll hear it next.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.